Brenda Fisher, Talent and Literary Manager.
And I'm Jacqueline Reynolds, Chief Digital Talent Officer at RSA Entertainment.
Our podcast, Badass Babes of Entertainment, will discuss the entertainment industry and the challenges facing today's actors, influencers, brands, and content creators.
PCG Talent has offices in Cincinnati, Columbus, and Dayton. With over 30 years of experience in the talent industry, they strive to have the best actors for Ohio, Kentucky, and the Indiana tri-state region and beyond. We have Peter here today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Absolutely.
So how did you end up becoming a talent agent in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Wow. Okay. This is a story. This is a true story. So I'm going to tell you here. Look, I was married. I got divorced, found myself actually homeless. This is a true story. I was living in my car for about 3 weeks or so. And then this is before cell phones, what have you. And I got a beep. I had a beep. I was living in a 300ZX. It had T-tops and, oh my goodness, I could let the sunshine in during the day. But anyway, so I got a text from my old band member. His name was Lenny Minnelli. Am I allowed to say last names here?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, great. So Lenny was a cool cat and he beeped me and he said, "Hey, Peter, what are you doing?" And I said, "Living the dream." Right. And he said, "Listen, if you're not working, I've got this friend of mine that runs a talent agency." And I said to myself, talent agency. So what exactly these people? I had to call him. This is before cell phones. You know how beepers work, right?
Right.
Well, you guys are probably too young to remember beepers. But anyway, so I went to a paid phone boothy thing and I called him and I explained. He said, man, you'd be really good at this stuff. I said, "What exactly do these people do?" And he said, "Look, just call this guy. His name's Peter, and I'll beep you the address." And I said, "Okay." So lo and behold, this always gives me goosebumps, and where I had to be to meet this guy, that's the parking lot where I was actually parked and living for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And he said, "Do you know this place?" And I said, Yeah, I'll find it. I didn't tell him, you know, I didn't say anything. I had to swallow my pride there a little bit. And so I went up the next morning, you know, I went into the public restroom there and I had a French bath.
Cute.
Oh, love it.
So anyway, so, and I went up and I saw this, I walked in and I saw all these headshots and and this still gets me to date. When people walk into my office and they look at the headshots posted on the walls, I've actually taken most of them down now. Sorry about that, Megan, took yours down too.
Oh, okay.
And a few others. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Well, you have nobody famous, so what do you guys do?" I hate that. It actually has happened a couple of times. And I said to the guy, "There's the door. Get the hell out of here, mate." But anyway, so I walked in. This guy was running crazy. There was like three desks, and he was the only one. And he was smoking cigarettes. The room was full of smoke and stuff. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, tapping. He's going from one phone. He said, "Creative Talent, can you hold, please? Creative Talent." I'm thinking, oh, God. So I said, "Mate, look, I got to go." I had nowhere to go, right? And I said, "Look, I got to leave." You know, I tapped on my watch and said, "Hey." So he came over and I said, "Well, my name's Peter Kondopoulos." And Lacey says, I know who you are. And so we chatted along and I'm thinking, so what exactly do you people do here? I mean, look, you know, you've got stuff up on the walls. And he says, "Well, he said, we do, you know, film and television and print and voiceovers and promotional work." And I said, "Oh, great." I said, "Let's cut to the chase, man. Tell me how much you're willing to pay." He says, "Well, I'm not the owner. You'll have to talk to the owners in California, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, give me a ballpark figure." And he said, "Well," and then I got up to walk away and he grabs my hand. He says, no, you got to listen." He said, "Just talk to them." So I'll cut the long story even shorter. So I called. Betty actually lives in California now. I think she runs Midwest Talent Group out there or something. Betty Agus is her name. And so we met and I drove to Columbus and and that's, I had my daughters were living there at the time and blah, blah, blah. And they offered me a little bit more and I had nothing. So I took it. And about 15 years later, I bought an agency.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So I worked my way up and learned some of the ropes and the tricks and all this sort of stuff. And I thought it was nuts at the time and the people. And then I just fell into it. I had a great time with it. You know, I maintained integrity. I maintained honesty, you know, which is rare, I guess, what they tell me or in the talent business. But and then I won best agent through AFTRA and SAG. And they gave me an award of excellence. And it went on from there and there. And I built the agency up. And now we have three locations.
Wow.
That's what impressive. I think is so interesting about that story is he's begging you to take the job. Never does it happen anymore. It's like we're begging for the job.
Well, basically, Lenny had probably told, because I was in the music business. I was a lounge lizard on the road all the time and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, a lot of it's about personality, knowing how to talk to people and just learning the ropes. And I think Lenny gave him a little briefing and, you know, you should talk to this guy and, and it just clicked, man. It just worked, you know?
Did you ever consider moving to L.A.?
No, never.
Why not?
It's a rat race, man. I've had an opportunity to go out there. I did have an opportunity. But I visited Los Angeles 3 or 4 times. I actually have good friends of mine who are agents out there. I network with a lot of people on both coasts and all over the place, but no, not for me, man. I'm 65 years old. Even when I was in my 40s, when it was offered to me to go out there, I'm a big fish in a small pond here. You know, going to LA, I don't think I would have lasted that long because I don't think I would have played that game.
Right. Well, you can always come visit us, drink some margaritas. We'll take you out
for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm planning on it. You know, I'm planning on going back to Greece. I was supposed to go last year, but I'm going back to the Greek islands. Hopefully, end of August, maybe first part of September. That's the plan. You know,
well, maybe you can come visit us before or after.
Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe you can visit us before or after
that. Yeah, absolutely. I've got a good friend of mine who works for a major agency out there, and she's always invited me to go. I've got a lot of talent that I represent out there. You know, people who are from this part of the country, the Midwest, and they've moved. Some of them are doing well. You know, a lot of them are coming back. I notice a huge exodus of West Coast people coming back to the Midwest. We even have a guy with the Blue Man Group that moved back. Wow. I signed him about 6 months ago.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then there's another guy that just called me today. He was in Los Angeles and he came back. Another friend of mine who was on the Funny Bone circuit just came back, and quite a few people back and forth, you know, but
right.
No one predicted what's happening to the world today with this COVID stuff. So it did put a wrench in it. And, you know, live theater, we represent a lot of theatrical talent, meaning theater, you know, live work, and people are hurting, man, big time hurting. So,
yeah. Well, what is your best piece of advice that you can give to an actor?
Keep your headshots and resume updated. You know, I tell you what, that's a good question. I'm all about theater personally, my beliefs. I say 90% of the world's greatest actors, whoever they may be, let's go from Sir Laurence Olivier to Sybil Shepherd, from De Niro, Pacino, the late, great Robin Williams, and many more of the classic, they're all classically trained. And I'm a firm believer in getting a lot of theater experience. I personally find in my market here, that people who are more successful are the ones that have been classically trained. You know, they get into it. They know how to interpret a script. They know how to become the character. The only thing we do with theater people is just tell them to bring it down a little bit. And it's a lot easier because they got this, they're big, you know, everything is big in theater. So for film, as you both know, you know, you've got to keep a little bit smaller. and less is kind of more. So it's easier for us, my staff and myself, when we're doing auditions in the offices, that we just tell them to bring it down, and they adapt very quickly, rather than someone that doesn't have that energy. It's a little bit tougher to get that out of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
absolutely.
And you know, they interpret the script well, and they're versed in scripts, and they know how to create characters and do all that sort of stuff. But that's what I find. This part of the world is, you know, you've got Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, and you have NKU across the river here in Kentucky. You have Ohio State, and a lot of these other universities have wonderful theatrical programs. And a lot of the, I would say, the 20 to 30 year olds that have graduated all come out with, you know, BAs in theater and what have you. So that helps us. I think that's my advice to any young up and coming actor, is to look into theater. It's not for everyone, you know, it isn't. Yeah, you know, 6 weeks.
No, but it's so fun.
Sorry?
I said no, but it's a lot of fun.
It is, you know, if you want to become, I believe it also creates discipline, you know, interpreting a script and how to work with other actors, a close knit. And, you know, once you're finished with rehearsals, the curtain opens, you're on. And that's it. So you got to think a little bit more, maybe. But, you know, and of course, getting a good private coach is also important. There's so many people online nowadays doing, you know, workshops here and there and everywhere.
That's true.
You know, that's, and you know, always try and call back. You know, I'm not big on texting, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, call the, you know, keep us abreast of what you're doing. Oh, I haven't read my email in 3 days. Well, I'll call bullshit on that one. You know, you're either dead, you don't have electricity, or you're just totally ignoring us. And that's another pain in the ass for me and my staff, when, you know, we send something out, you know, we're not wanting to talk about how to make spaghetti marinara. We're creating an opportunity. After all, that's what agents do. We create opportunities. We don't say, hey, you know, Steven Spielberg just requested you. You should be doing now. That's what we do. You know, I mean, we can't guarantee, as you all know, that you're going to get, shut up, Chloe. You're not going to get the That's the beagle.
Chloe!
But what we do is create those opportunities and, you know, put in a good audition, read the script, you know, read the specs. We're doing something now with a new film. I'm not supposed to say it, but I think Sandra Bullock's involved. And we're doing,
I love her.
A new Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig film, which we've been casting for the last 5 weeks. That shoots in Cleveland in June. We got 3 Netflix series, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, you know, interpreting. A lot of people get lazy, you know, and something more than maybe a page or 2 or 3 of dialogue. And, you know, I don't know about that. So,
yeah. I wanted to ask you, are you seeing a lot more TV shows and movies being moved to the Midwest?
Our tax incentive here is 30 to 35% if you lose use local high. Atlanta's 43.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're coming back. This is the third major film we're doing right now. We're all into, you know, actually today was a deadline for one. Adam Driver, Greta Gerwig movie, they're really dragging their feet. But there's another one coming, I just heard, probably get it next week.
Okay. But
a lot of Netflix stuff, Amazon.com stuff, another movie that Donna is doing up in Pittsburgh called Rust, I think it's called. We're in callback stages. We just landed a woman on Chicago Fire. And we do a lot of Chicago Fire, PD, Chicago MD, of course, that's shot in Chicago. So very excited about doing those sort of programs, you know, national TV, NBC, whatever it is. So that's always good credit for us. And
absolutely.
We average good. You know, we have some great actors here. Some of this talent's been with me for 20 years. Why? I don't know, but they have.
Because you're great. I like that you're a straight shooter.
You know, look, I don't know any other way. My mommy taught me well. And because, you know, you bullshit, this is enough bullshit in this business, as it stands now. You don't need some some agent in Ohio to bullshit you anymore. You know, I mean, I just say, get the job done. If you can't do it, just tell us. That's all I ask, you know?
Yeah. You like the straightforwardness of it.
Yeah, be straightforward and I expect it in return. I don't think that's too much to ask. Yeah. But for some, I guess it is. I don't know, you know.
So what has been like the most, I guess, exciting moment of your career as an agent? Did something like make you so happy, a booking that you just like had to scream
honestly,
out loud?
Lately, landing this role on Chicago Fire this morning.
Wow, this morning. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yes, congrats. Yeah.
Well, she was in the movie.
On a good day.
We did a film here called Dark Water with Mark Ruffalo and directed by Todd Haynes. She was in that as well. Yeah.
Wow.
And she's done several features here for us. She's a good actress, you know, and she's a mature woman. I think she's like in 67 or something, but she's playing the cat lady.
I love that. You know what? And that's,
we need those.
That is,
I don't
so
know, you know, that's, she's the cat lady, I guess. Not like cat woman, cat lady in a suit.
Yeah,
in the,
right.
No. She's just a
lady
don't know,
that collects cats.
Yeah. She's holding a cat and the cat jumps out of her arms or something. I can't remember the whole scene, but she has about I don't know, 7-8 lines, I think.
Hey, that's awesome though. And I love hearing that, you know, amazing women like that, that are not in their 20s anymore, you know, landing roles, still, you know, working, booking. I love that. So, you know, kudos to her, because we're like, we're here for her. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, that's good. I'll try and let you guys know when it airs. Of course,
she shoots,
I think, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Of course, there's a fitting date and a travel date and stuff. And of course, you know, the COVID thing, now we, you know, I'm sick and tired of it like everybody else in the whole wide world, but
amen.
It has put some restrictions on a lot of people. I've got at least a handful of actors. Hang on a second. Let me just mute.
Speaking
this.
Of.
Sorry. Yeah. I have a handful of actors and actresses that have not accepted auditions in the last 13 months. They just said, can't do it. Just don't, you know, they're I don't know what they look like anymore, but they'll do voiceovers from home. But, you know, it's just the way it is, man. And I told my staff 6 months ago when we were all made in quarantine, or 8 months ago, whatever, I said, we're all going to learn the business again together. We're going to rejuvenate. We're going to start from scratch and learning new protocol. You know, look at us. I mean, you know, can't do this, can't do that anymore. And, but I believe it's opening up. You know, like Indiana, the state over, they've abolished masks now. This tomorrow, I think, is you don't have to wear masks in Indiana anymore.
Can't wait to come back and visit now.
Nice.
You know, so, but hey, there are always going to be people that wear them. And when,
and that's,
you know,
fine.
There's a new strand, and I don't know, man. I can't keep up with it. It's like technology for me. I just can't keep
technology.
Up
technology.
You know. But,
well, if you move to LA, then you'll just have crazy random women screaming things at you like I do all the time, and that's where I get my information.
Hey, I have screaming women at me all the time anyway.
Okay, so. Okay. There's crazy people all over. Good to know.
I think they call them Karens.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, here's a little tidbit for you. So,
right.
Some moron, some dodo head, released 5 live monkeys around the corner from my house, not even half a mile away last night.
Dear God.
Do you get like a reward if you find one?
I don't know, but it's
close. Before
I
or after they bite
out
you.
The window, and I think that's why the fat beagle wants to go outside all the time. I think there might be one in the big trees in the backyard here. But
Lord.
I mean, seriously, someone. And then the zoo said, well, all our monkeys are accounted for. So.
All our monkeys are accounted for. Wow. We're good. Don't worry about us.
Don't worry about us. We're good.
Wow.
And it is so close. I could practically walk there from here.
Wow.
Just you're a like, little tidbit. You're like, maybe they're making a film and I didn't know about it. I don't know. Right?
Maybe.
They got some extra monkeys here. That somebody is... called the animal control.
That is crazy. So what's that is crazy. What's the craziest thing that an actor's done to get your attention? Like, I want to be repped. They drop something
is
off.
All right, can I go?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We can make this explicit. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So one day I was at the office. And this woman came in and I said to her, okay, well, you kind of look different than your pictures. And she says, oh, I'm sorry. So she reached down her blouse and pulled out all these boob extensions, let's call them, and put silicone thingies. And she dropped them on in my desk. She said, yeah, I don't have big tits. That was it. I had my life threatened a couple of times. I've had calls saying, why did you tell my wife that her hair doesn't look good bleached and tan? Straight, man. They said, well, I'm going to kick your ass. And I said, well, your wife knows where I am. Why don't you both come down? And I don't know. It's ceased now. Yeah, just some little tidbit stories.
Shouldn't be an actor. If you can't handle that kind of rejection or that kind of honesty, then you don't need, you're in the wrong business. Go be a data entry person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had a 16-year-old wet his pants while he was doing a monologue.
He was doing a monologue for you and you made him wet his pants?
I didn't make him wet his pants. He just got so nervous. I don't sugarcoat things. I'm not in this business to blow smoke up people's ass.
I'm surprised I didn't wet my pants when I did my monologue for you.
The kid just freaked out. And
I mean, you're a little intimidating.
Sure. I don't mean harm. I don't know, maybe I'm forgetting some stuff.
That's okay.
I've had people try to... bribe me with stuff before.
Oh, anything good? Right, anything good?
But not money, unfortunately. Mm. It was bottles of vodka and chocolate eclairs.
No. Seriously, eclairs.
Alcohol and food, that seems to be what we get all the time from people.
Right.
Obviously, these people don't know how the industry works because we don't make the decision whether you get the gig or not. Some people think there's a couple of parents that they'll do an audition in the morning and they'll call us in the afternoon and go, hey, did Johnny get that?
I know. Oh, like, I get those.
I wish.
I get those.
You're like,
too.
I want them to.
Yeah, what did casting say? Well, let's see. Once they're done with the other 1,000 people they're looking at,
I'm sure they'll call me.
Yeah,
the one person.
One person. And I'm like, unless you did something really idiotic in the room, we're not going to get a call.
You don't want that
call. We don't want that call, so we're good.
Yeah. Another pet peeve would be when talent sometimes takes it to their own doing and calling clients directly.
I was gonna say who's doing that, but let's not point any fingers. Let's just say actors, please,
Megan,
don't do that.
Is there something that you need to tell us?
I'm like, I gotta go, guys.
Just your normal stuff in the industry. Learn as much as you can. Like I said, it's a different world. This industry's been hit very hard. We've been blessed. I will say we never really shut down. The most drastic thing we did was work from home.
That is drastic.
And as it being an agent, I don't like working from home. Honestly,
I don't
like working from home. I have buildings and locations and I feel more productive in my office. That's just me. I don't know, but I want to feel the life. I want people to come in. I want to see talent. There's a lot of talent that we have. And then it's like, hey, you remember me? We met like 16 years ago. Oh, yeah, of course I remember you. I want to see people, I want to be with, I want to shake their hand. Of course, we follow all the CDC rules, but
we have one last question for you.
Sure.
If you had to pick out one woman who has helped you along your journey that is a badass that you want to give a shout out to, who would that be?
Wow. A one woman.
Yeah, someone who's been inspiring that you would absolutely call a badass babe in the entertainment industry.
Well, I'm going to, I don't know if Betty likes me anymore, but I'm going to have to say Betty Agus with Midwest. I don't know if she does. I've always admired, I call her my mentor. She gave me the break. She helped me, you know, and I learned a lot from her, but we've lost track. I've connected with her a couple of times, but I don't know, you know, I think she was told some things that were not true. And I don't know, but hey.
Well, I think just tell her to listen to this podcast and she'll hear the sincerity.
We'll send her an email and invite her to listen.
Yeah.
She runs Midwest Talent in Los Angeles. I know she has the Power Rangers she was managing, or she was said something to do with the Power Rangers and a few other people. But I would say Betty Agus is pretty badass because she was there at the start. My mom, but she's passed away.
That's always a good one.
My daughter in Colorado, she's 31 and an executive at a major insurance company and has built her second brand new home in Denver, Colorado. And she just turned 31 last week. And she's a badass.
Youngin'.
Yeah.
Sounds like a badass.
Yeah. She is a badass. And she is, she is probably, I would say my daughter too, recently. And not because she's my daughter. She's just a general all-around good-ass, badass person.
I love that. A good-ass, badass.
Well, she's going to have to listen to the podcast now,
too. Yeah, what's your daughter's name?
Her name is Nicole.
Nicole. All right.
Shout out.
I have another daughter,
Nicole.
So I better mention she's a bartender and she's also cool.
And what's her name?
Her name is Carissa.
Carissa the badass bartender.
She's
I love
it. Now she is a down and dirty badass. But she's sweet. You know, her and I share the same month. We're both Aquarians and we're like two peas in a pod. But she's come a long way, and I'm very proud of both of them. I don't know if I should say this, but their mother passed away last year, and it's been very tough. She took her own life.
Oh,
I'm sorry to hear that.
We were actually in the middle of the Aegean Sea when that happened, so we came back. But anyway, and it's she missed both of them missed their mom a lot. But Carissa lives here in Ohio, and only 10, 15 minutes away from me. And Nicole, the youngest one, lives in Denver. So, but we fly out and see her as much as we can, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That's good that you're a good dad hanging in there and
staying
close to your girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, it's, we're all in this together, but it's been a little surreal, a little tough in that no one expected it. It just came totally out of the blue, just like, whoa, out of the blue. And it stopped everything. And that was crazy.
I blame COVID for everything. It has just been miserable.
Well, I don't know what it was. I don't know. It was very tragic, I'll say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but
you know, so, but COVID's stupid. You know, what are you going to do? There's another virus coming through now. I just read, and will it ever end?
Oh, no. It's like we're all going to be like wearing belts with Lysol strapped to us, spraying things down before we touch anything anymore.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I just want to travel again. You know, I just want to go overseas. Stop it, Chloe.
Chloe, maybe you need to pick Chloe up so we can see her.
Well, she's too fat. I can't.
Okay. Well, you'll definitely have to travel to come see us, Peter. And thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. We know you're busy.
Chloe, shut up. I'm signing off.
Be quiet. She's like, I need a snack.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I've never done anything like this. I appreciate I've done TV locally here and radio, but I've never done a a podcast thing, but I appreciate, is this a podcast thing?
It yes. is. It's a podcast. Yes.
Okay.
So cool. You have to tell all your friends and family you're famous now, have them listen.
Oh yeah. Man.
And tell your clients, listen in. We give good advice, talk to a lot of casting directors and agents like yourself. So
yeah, for sure.
That'll be good for
so
them.
How do I get a copy of this?
We'll send you a link once it's published.
Yeah, oh, I'll send you a link, and then you can download Spotify on your phone. Just from like, you know, the Apple store, I'm not sure what kind of phone you have, or the Play Store, and it's Spotify. It's just a little green logo. Download it on your phone and then you can play podcasts on there for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, I'll email it to you. I'll give you all the details.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, awesome.
You know, and then, if time permits and everything, I am planning on coming out there. I don't know when.
No worries. You'll keep us posted, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
No worries.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Peter.
Oh, you're welcome.
Peter,
anytime.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you, dear. Take it easy.
Bye.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Brenda, right?
Yes. Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you, Brenda. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Bye. All right.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Badass Babes of Entertainment, and stay tuned as we have another episode coming at you now.
Michelle has traveled the world doing spots for the Nike Unlimited campaign and worked with athletes from the summer 2016 Olympics. She has worked with some of the most acclaimed athletes, such as Serena Williams. Over the last 15 years, Michelle has labored to become the leader in the music video world, working with the likes of Britney Spears, Justin Bieber, Drake, Pharrell, Nicki Minaj, and Snoop Dogg, and so many more, including producing a live concert for Prince's tour in 2013.
Wow.
To date, Michelle Mabel has produced over $10 million in content, holds under its belt 2 MTV Music Video Awards, BET Video of the Year Awards, and 2 Much Music Awards. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Michelle Larkin, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, really excited. I've known you for a little bit, but I was stalking you and I was like, wow, she's done so much and worked with so many amazing people. So I'm excited to get into it and hear more. And yeah, whatever you can tell us, we'd love to hear. But we have a couple questions. We wanted to know how you got into being a producer, and was that always your lifelong passion?
So I moved to LA in the 90s. And yeah, I always knew that I wanted to definitely do something in film. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. And when I first started out, or entertainment, I guess. So when I first started out, I was working in TV. So in the promotion department at ETV when I first moved to LA. And then that job didn't really pan out. So I scrambled and then kind of floated a bunch of different places. Back then it was kind of different, I will say that. And then finally, I think I kind of fell into, I started meeting people, and then I kind of fell into it where I was like, didn't have a job. And I was like, oh, I have to pay my rent. And this girl I had met, she's like, oh, you should just PA on a music video or a commercial. She's like, let me see if I can link you up. So that's how it started. I mean, I really started from the bottom, not to quote Drake, but
started from the bottom. Now we're here.
That's awesome.
What is your favorite project that you've ever worked on?
Ooh, there were so many. I mean, since I started so long ago, I mean, I definitely PAing and like coordinating pressure, there's just been so many fun, cool jobs. I feel like working with Spike Jonze back then was super cool. I mean, he was like, I think he's basically my same age. So I remember the first video I ever did with him, and he like showed up to set, and like, you guys, there was no internet. There was no way to like research people or any of that. So like he skateboards up to set, and I just thought he was another one of the PAs. Like, hey, we're checking out walkies. It was something really embarrassing. And he's like, but he was so nice. He was like, oh, I'm the director. And I was like, okay. So, but he was always super creative. And this production company that I used to work with a lot back then, where I was started and like started moving up, basically housed all those amazing directors, like David Finch, like all the people that do film now, like David Fincher, Michel Gondry. There's just so many. The guy that does Transformers that I can never remember his name.
Michael Bay.
he's an asshole.
Isn't that him? Michael Bay?
Was it Michael Bay?
Yeah, Michael Bay. I mean, he kind of knows. I mean, this is a women's podcast, so
that's right.
It's like,
that's yeah. right.
And unfortunately, there really hasn't, and especially back then, weren't that many women directors. So I only just started recently, I would say in the last 15 years, come across more female directors that do commercials and music videos. I mean, there's definitely always been a handful of women that do it. But I mean, even in film now, it's like they just said how many times, like, oh, this is the first time that a woman won an Emmy or something for directing this last year. Crazy. I mean, that's really crazy. And of course, not only was it the first woman, she happened to be Asian. So there's really still not a lot of women of color or women in general that direct. There's producers, but still, I mean, it's really still a little bit of a boys club and definitely very white. I have been always, especially since I do a lot of hip hop, have been exposed to more people of color. So I always try to make it as many women as I can and just make it as even as possible. But not everybody has been doing that.
No, which, I think that's great.
So, definitely. You know, yeah, your girl Erica is like one of my faves, but she yeah. left me to go do wardrobe. So like I was training her to be a little mini me, but she's just super creative. So I feel like she wanted to do more creative stuff because producing can be a little bit not as creative.
Right. I think that's cool, though. I think that it's great that you're mindful of that and bringing in women whenever you can, trying to make it even.
Yeah. I mean, I wish there were more women. And then I know I'm always of someone I heard there was a female director who had a full female crew on her first feature. And I thought that was really amazing. And I was like, I would love to get my hands on that call sheet. But I mean, I feel like sometimes also women that do film don't necessarily want to do like videos or commercials. But I mean, there's just, it's so hard to find women grips and like electricians.
But
and
imagine if they were all synced up on their period.
I mean, on a film, definitely.
Like the chocolate, the coffee, we need heating pads, hurry.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Oh, that'd be awful. I'm kind of curious for myself, just because I love Prince. Can you tell us anything about working on that?
Yeah, he is a very interesting person, as you might guess. Mm-hmm. I've worked with him a few times, but the most recent was with a director who now does a lot of TV and all that, Senna Homrie, who is incredible. She's a female director that I loved working with. She's like, she's a badass. Like, she knows what she wants. She worked her way up from being an assistant, and then she taught herself how to edit. She really is someone that I admire. And she had worked with him a bunch and they became friends. So I think with that, he keeps his circle really small. He's super private. I feel like, yeah, being in that mix was really cool because it's definitely a small group of people that are allowed.
I'm jealous. Dreams, goals.
You know what I mean? Like, he's very artistic. He does his thing. And when he's in that mode, he's like in his zone. Not really a person that does small talk or any of that. Like,
I can see that.
You can see when the genius is happening. Like, he's pretty intense.
I'm sure that's cool to be around.
Yeah.
Or was.
Was.
Yeah.
My mind is still here, but
I know.
What's the craziest writer that you've ever seen by a celebrity? And if you can name drop, we need all the tea.
You know, the thing about writers on a lot of them will look super crazy, and the thing about them is that they don't change the write, like when the label set or someone's assistant, whoever sends it to you, it's the same writer that they have on tour. So the tour writer obviously is going to have from night to night a ton of shit on it because there's so many people in their camp. So that's the thing, is usually it'll come and then whoever the record label exec will be like, oh, no. And then they'll cross a bunch of shit out. Can we curse on here?
Yes.
Cross a bunch of stuff out and then it'll be like super chill. I mean, the ones that I usually remember are people who literally don't even have one. And like, you just get an email, hey, we just want some Fuji water and some granola bars. You know what I mean? It's like always those people. I'm like, oh, wow. And it'll be like someone really famous too, where you're like, oh, I thought they would want that. They would be a little bit more high maintenance. And no, I feel like I'm surprised usually at the people who don't ask for stuff.
That like, yeah,
that they would. I don't know if you want me.
I always want to hear those crazy stories where it has to, their water has to be 70 degrees exactly, or like they have to something.
I feel like now that doesn't happen as much as it used to. I feel like back in the day, people would pull stupid shit like that. Oh, I can only have the yellow M&Ms, or they all have to be separated. You hear those stories. And I feel like that was like more in like the 80s and early 90s. Mm. And I feel like I probably did shop for ridiculously expensive things in the 90s, for sure. I feel like Toni Braxton had a really insane rider. It was always like someone of that R&B. I mean, but the rockers used to do crazy stuff too. Yeah, they want $200 candles from some store that's, I don't know, like stuff that now just seems like not a big deal because everything is so available now. Like before, right, you would have to track stuff down. Like I remember, I can't remember who the artist was, but it was a rapper, and they could only have strawberry flavored something gum. And it was like a total pain in the ass to find.
How random.
And now you can just get everything on Amazon and have it there the next day.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is before it was a little bit more like a treasure hunt, and then we didn't have cell phones then. So
I remember those days.
Actually shopping for the stuff, you didn't come back with the exact right stuff. But I mean, it was so long ago, I can barely remember. I do remember that Toni Braxton's was at the time like kind of intense, but I mean, it was very opulent in the 90s. Everyone's was like that. I feel like I just remember her job because it was like went on for days and days and days.
I always think it's weird too when celebrities want like flowers. Like you're going to be in your trailer or your little space for what? All of 30 minutes. They're doing your makeup. You're not looking at the flowers. What's the point?
I think also, to be honest, that it's not even always the artist requesting the things. I think it's their management. Generally, when I feel like someone's being a pain in the ass, it's the manager.
Mm-hmm. So what is the manager gonna, they're just looking at the flowers all day? Shouldn't they be like managing their client?
They're trying to make their client happy. So yeah, they just want to look good in front of their client.
Exactly. That's funny. I was a producer in the 90s and I worked with Howie Mandel and Bill Cosby, Hank Williams Jr. doing live events. It was interesting because I think at one point Howie was becoming, I think, vegan at the time. And it was like, early on, yeah. And it was like, oh, wait, how do you make lasagna without cheese? I don't understand. Yeah, so that was a challenge. But other than that, some of the rockers that we worked with, too, they would, I think, just do the candy thing, the green M&Ms, just because somebody else did it. So they wanted to do it, too.
Yeah, I don't remember anything super crazy about that. I do remember, which honestly, Lionel Richie and Barry Manilow both requested that they had real flatware and real plates, like no plastic or anything. They wanted real, like proper.
That sounds like something I would do. Like, I'm trying to save the planet over here, people.
But I mean, this wasn't even about saving the planet. I think it was just, like, they don't eat off of paper plates. You know what I mean? They're at such a place. And I feel like Tom Petty was another person who they just had experienced life in a certain way for so long that just wasn't, it was just not good enough. And I don't have a problem with that. But then it's always, what do we do with this stuff after the fact?
Oh, my roommate would bring home so much stuff. I couldn't let it go to waste. We have to, I'm like, we already have a mirror. What are we doing with this? We had so much extra stuff, like paper plates. We can't just throw them away. And I'm like, well, I guess we're eating off paper plates for a month for no reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know that I would probably love that job, free stuff that celebrities had. She's like, oh, this is from Katy Perry. This is Nicki Minaj. Like, all right.
Like, yeah, but it's just like random things, not like a full set.
You
know?
Right.
So, there's not really anything, like I said, that stands out of any of those things. Either people, like you said, like the rockers would be copying each other, like, I want this, or then the other stuff, when you think about it, it sounds pretty standard. And I feel like also the other thing is people don't realize that a lot of times, like videos especially, will be in the middle of somebody's tour. They're tired. There or doing radio shows in the morning. So you don't know what their whole other calendar is. You get a little bit of a glimpse. So like when they're tired or in not the perfect mood or they want something, it's because they haven't, you know, been able to have any time to recoup. It's not like they're just coming from chilling at their house most of the time.
I could understand that. I'm like that all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Amen to that.
You were talking a lot about directing earlier. Do you want to direct or do you enjoy producing or do you see the future?
I do love producing and I think mostly because I'm good at it, which I feel like it's probably time to start directing more. I've done a couple small projects and I think, yeah, once you feel like, oh, I'm really good at this and I'm still, there's always something new and something to learn, but I definitely have reached a point where I'm probably not going to get that much more out of it. Like I can keep doing it and it's fine, but definitely want to challenge myself a little bit more. I feel like it's not even like a move up, it's a lateral move. So hopefully those opportunities will present themselves to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For you as well.
And what would you be interested in directing, television or film?
I think television. Television's become so interesting. I feel like there's just, it's more edgy. There's more room to be creative. A lot of things now in the last, I would say 10 years, not even that long ago, have changed as far as structure in film and TV. So it's not like the way that it used to be where it was like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how the script goes. These are how you know, and this is, people are finding new ways to do things. And with YouTube and all these other places that you can have content, there's so many different ways to be creative now. I find that super interesting. And now when they, just the fact that TV will release an entire season of something, we have so many different ways to watch things now. So yeah. I feel like that's super interesting.
Absolutely. Michelle, are you here in Los Angeles?
I am.
You are. Oh, we have to do margaritas for sure.
Oh, I would love that. And I'm halfway vaxxed up. So
me too.
Read
next week
this morning that was vaxxed up and waxed up. It's hot girl summer. And I'm like, I am feeling that vibe.
I love that. That is hilarious.
Margaritas by the pool.
That's right. Yeah, we definitely should network more. We have a literary division now and we're working on some deals and we definitely have needs for directors and producers. So yeah, we should definitely network and see if there might be a project we're working on that might end up being your directing gig.
I would love that. That sounds amazing. And it sounds just as amazing as margaritas.
Yes. Margaritas and directing.
It's hard
Let's
to tell
it.
Which one. Oh, they're both in top spot.
So, I was just picturing when you said the all women on set and everybody's cycles syncing up. And yeah. I'm picturing like, you know, the big beer helmets, but full of margaritas as everybody's just walking around and everybody's in a good mood.
Yeah.
They're doing good.
I like that.
I heard that, I feel like it was Olivia Wilde said, I saw a really interesting interview with her and what is her name? And I love her too. And for some reason I'm having like a brain fog right now, but it was two women directors and Olivia Wilde was one of them interviewing each other. And they both tried to keep a lot of women on set, but they just said, just even the vibe of the times that they've been in other positions and like men have been directing, it's just such a different vibe that women bring. When even just being a producer, I know it's a different vibe than when a man is producing. Because I came up under so many men, there weren't a ton of women. Then not much has changed, which is kind of sad. But so, and I just remember there was just so much like angst all the time and yelling. And it's like, women don't, I just feel like it is. It's such a different vibe, like when women are in charge.
Was it her South by Southwest interview?
No, it was with the director. She's British and she did that movie that was so good. Why can't I remember? I'll remember right when I get off the phone.
It always happens.
She did that film, that recent one that was about her best friend that gets raped and murdered. And it was like a dark comedy. It was like something that was like, how is this even?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Promising Young Woman.
Yes. So yes. That director and she directs like a TV show that I don't watch. It's a huge TV show like Game of Thrones or something. don't kill me that I don't watch that. It's just not my thing.
That's okay.
But
yeah,
they had the best, most interesting conversation. And I feel like it was either Variety or whatever, one of those YouTube shows. And they both said the same thing. And I'm like, I really do resonate with that. Like that it is just such a different vibe when women are in charge. It's just chill.
Yeah. And I think too, do you notice that women tend to multitask better? So things get done a little bit smoother and kind of in succession rather than one thing at a time?
I feel like I'm a big multitasker, but I feel like multitasking doesn't work for everything. You have to be careful when you say multitasking, because like I can definitely be on the phone and hear other things and whatever, but I don't think I could be on the phone and writing an email or any of that. I think women are actually better at delegating things.
I'm the queen of that, aren't I, Megan?
Oh, yeah.
That you hire the right people, I'm fine to delegate stuff, where I feel like men sometimes will take everything and hold on to information, and that just doesn't work. So I feel like that's something. And I think that just women have just like a calmer nature. I mean, obviously not all women, but I feel like directors that I work with, most of my directors, and a lot of them are men, but they love that. I feel like we're also nurturing. So like we makes them feel like they're taken care of.
Yeah. It's innate in us, no matter what, whether you have kids or not.
Yeah.
You're a motherly figure.
I have all my kids.
Yeah.
Me too. I do that with all my clients. I have a client that's 80 and I still treat him like he's one of my children. I'm like,
That's sweet though.
Yeah.
That's sweet. What's your best advice for someone that wants to be a producer, just starting out?
I think it's important to not skip steps. And I know that that happens a lot, especially now. Like when I was starting out, you had to do each position for like years before they let you move up. I think there was a lot more money at stake then. So it was like a trust thing. Also, the men at the top were hoarding all the, it's not that much different than the economy. So there's that. I would say that it did help me a lot to spend time in each role and really learn things, because now I actually really do know all the equipment on set, how much things really cost, like what people's, you know, positions are. And I feel like there's people who jump from maybe being like an office PA or a coordinator, and then they're producing the next month. Once they figure out, especially now it's easier because there's programs and budgeting programs that do all the math for you. So it's pretty easy to learn the pushing papers part. And then if you have any kind of personality, you can kind of figure out as you go. But I feel like not knowing or having enough experience can like get you into trouble in the long run. So I think it's important to like really spend time learning all the different, and that takes time. It's like you could be the smartest person and know all the ins and outs, but working on sets over the years or whatever, you're going to see different things happen and be like, oh, shoot, now I know what to do if a light falls down and catches on fire. Or I don't know what's happened. That's happened where someone got injured. Another time, like an animal got loose, like a tiger or something. They told us don't shoot with animals in the nighttime. They get super frisky, like it's dangerous, and the director didn't want to listen, and then you have issues. So like,
is that your craziest story? Now I need a craziest story.
Yeah.
Is that the craziest thing that's ever happened?
No, that actually has happened twice. Like one it's so crazy. It's always on like a hip hop video, and the artist is not the person who wants it. It's like, I remember one of them, the artist was like, I didn't even ask for this. This isn't even like what I want. He was so not into it. And then the animal's been in a cage all day, and the trainer keeps saying like, it's not good to have them out, and they're super nocturnal and they get all crazy in the nighttime. And now he's been in a cage all day and he's hungry. So yeah, that happens. And then it happened in Miami another time where it bit the trainer and then ran up this tree and everyone scattered. I'm like, oh, these people who want freaking animals in their videos.
A runaway tiger in a tree. I don't think the fire department wants to come out for that one.
No, I forget. I feel like the trainer eventually got the animal to come down, but like he was bleeding. It was like almost like an SNL skit.
Oh my gosh, you're like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
And that was, of course, before like social media. And you're like, oh, I'm going to film the entire thing.
You're like, dang it.
Probably. I mean, I don't think you could even do that now.
All the NDAs you signed
and stuff. It's just like, would it be worth? I mean, someone would probably end up, it would get uploaded somewhere somehow. But yeah, I do miss the days of no social media or even camera phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time, different times.
Yeah. People were just more in the moment.
Yeah.
Now you're like, hold on, don't, Michelle, don't take that first bite. I have to get the perfect picture for Instagram. And you're like, I'm just really hungry. I don't care.
I know. I love that when you're at a restaurant and you have to wait for someone who's taking 10 minutes to take, you're like, for the love of God.
They're like, can you bring out the lighting?
Yeah.
I did that once with a friend. We had the guy, he like got up on a chair and took us from different angles.
Oh my Lord.
But we were the only customers. He had nothing else to do. He was entertained. We left him a good tip. It was just, we just knew that that was a thing, but we were both into it. So it was silly.
Okay. Well, as long as you were into it, if I was sitting with you, I'd probably say, okay, I'm going to scoot over here and sit at this table while you guys do that. Cause I'm hungry. So are you in LA, Hollywood? Where are you located?
I'm in LA proper. I'm over by the Grove.
So
the city. Yeah.
Got you.
Not far.
Not too far. The Grove is nice. Yeah. We'll definitely have to pick a fun spot and do some drinks and dinner or something. I would love to chat with you more and hear more about your journey. And I'm always trying to learn new things, especially with us doing this new literary thing and get different perspectives from producers and people that have been doing it for a while, just to see kind of your take on things. And it's always good, especially for women, to get together and network and help each other. And one of the biggest things that we talk about on this show is the fact that we've heard so many people say, nobody helped me when I was coming up, so why should I help you?
Oh, I don't feel like that though. I feel like nobody helped me really, but I'm always down to help. And I feel like the generation that I'm helping is a different generation than mine. So I feel like that's part of it. Not that I wouldn't help like my fellow people my same age, but they're already, and like they've already done what they're going to do. But yeah, 100%, really no one helped me. And I feel like a lot of people, like I said, like men especially, were just trying to keep you in like this space that you couldn't move up. Like they were just hoarding all the jobs to themselves.
Right.
Or they didn't want you to have the information to move up.
And I really feel like when they talk about the good old boys network, it's a real thing, because they do help each other and they tend to be more supportive of each other. And that's another thing that we really talk about on the show, is that we as women need to be that. We need to have our own network and we need to help each other and be there for each other, because these guys have done it.
Right.
What has held us back from doing it? What is it that, why haven't we done this? And one of the things that I always talk about is the show Mrs. America on Hulu. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm. No.
That was so eye-opening for me. It was back in 1970, and it shows you where we as women went wrong and where the competition really got heated. And it was over a lot of misinformation and fear. And I think that if we can communicate and take that out of the equation, that we will all be unstoppable, because I do think that we have a certain skill set that men don't have. And I do think that that's something, if we all band together and really support each other and network and constantly help lift each other up, that we can make a huge difference. And that is like the overall goal of our podcast and what we're about. And bringing badass babes on, such as yourself, to talk about these things and to say, hey, I'm out here, I'm doing this, and you can too. And here's what we need to do.
Yep.
So thank you.
Thank
you. Well, with all that being said, if there's one badass babe that you want to give a shout out to, maybe that helped you along your journey, or someone that you just admire and love and adore, who would that be?
I'm going to have to say my mother, even though she's like a complete, she was the one that made me the strong person. I don't think if I had a different mother that I could have gone through all the things that I have in LA. It was not easy in the beginning. And like we've been talking about, just like there weren't a lot of women to help. And it's because it was super competitive, because there weren't a lot of positions for women. And I feel like men also would kind of create a little bit of drama of making women think that they couldn't trust each other. I can't blame everything on men, but mm-hmm. there was.
But we want to.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to do that now. They make it so easy.
Yeah. Right.
It is such a good point that you bring up about the fact that the men have created the drama and made us feel like we can't trust each other. And rather than pulling that person aside and saying, listen, this is BS, whatever's going on, and we need to form an alliance and a team because these guys are not going to have our backs. So we have to figure this out for ourselves. And I think more of that needs to happen, and we need to be the voices that are the ones to speak up and pull that person aside and say, listen, I can tell there's something going on here, so let's just clear the air, because I can tell you right now, whatever it is, isn't real. So
I think there's more of us now. Before I'd be like the two women, and then you know that you're hired by these guys. So you're just, I mean, the same thing with all the other bad things that men have done is like women don't speak up or confide in each other because you just don't know. There's very few of us, and you just don't know who's going to judge you or who you can trust to help you out. So I feel like now things have been changing slowly, but changing, that we can definitely form an alliance. And I think that there's enough of us to start making some big changes.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
So let's be the change.
Yeah.
Whoop,
whoop, whoop. Zoom high five.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle Larkin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, this has been amazing. We'll send you a link to the podcast once it's all edited, put together, and ready to go. And hopefully you'll share it with more badass babes out there.
Hey, thank you so, so much. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to talking to you more in the future and margaritas and directing and producing and all that good stuff.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.
This episode was produced by me, Brenda Fisher, and Jacqueline Reynolds. Also produced by Megan Ketz. Recording and editing by Herman Villacorta.